to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. College football full circle. This is Drew Martin, Mark Zito, holding it down right on Sports Grid, Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us. We are recapping all of college football. We'll do the NFL as well in the next hour, but college football full circle. If you missed anything this weekend on the CFB slate, we got you covered. Drew Martin, Mark Zito. Mark, what'd you take away here on Saturday? It started Thursday night, some Friday night lights as well. But this weekend on the college football slate, man, how'd it treat you?
Very good. It was a very, very good weekend from a college standpoint. And I think we learned that there were a lot of teams in look-ahead spots this week as we'll start to dive into real conference play in week four of college football. We'll see some big primetime matchups, some big games between top 25 opponents. And so, you know, some of that you have to – don't be fooled by what you saw last week. You have to kind of take the entire sample size. For my money, I can tell you two things about college football. One, I know 100% Georgia is not the best team in the country. Despite the fact that they have number one ranking, that is not the best football team in the country. Their offense needs a ton of work. They are not an offense that I would trust to score a lot of points in a given game. Their defense is still very good. But, you know, their offense has a lot to be concerned. I would still lean on Florida, if not Texas, being the best team in the country right now.
Florida State, you mean?
Sorry, yes, thank you, Florida State. Yes, definitely not Florida.
Well, that was another team that had a little bit of a struggle here, though. I mean, granted, up in the Northeast, a bunch of Florida guys going up to play Boston College, pretty good atmosphere, weather, not as bad as they thought it would be, but I guess this is one we could kind of start off with here. Florida State and Boston College. Florida State went off as the minus 24.5 point favorite. Do note there was 4 or 5 points bought down pretty much the day before and Saturday. That's Boston College money coming in here. 48.5 being the total. Game goes up and over and Florida State wins. However, Boston College easily covers. Did you take away anything from Chestnut Hill here, Mark?
Red bandana game for Boston College. For those who are not familiar with what the red bandana game is, Wells Crowder, who was a Boston College student at the time, was a young man who was caught in the World Trade Centers on 9/11. And he was notorious for wearing a red bandana, and he saved multiple people in the building, never got out himself, and ultimately perished along with thousands of others on 9/11. So Boston College every year, their football team does a red bandana game in honor of Wells Crowder. So it's an extremely emotional game. Wells Crowder's parents are there, and you know, Boston College and their fans get up for it big time. But also, again, you had Florida State, in a classic look-ahead spot against a team that's much worse than they are, with Clemson in Death Valley on deck coming up this coming Saturday. So it's one of those spots where you look ahead and go, well, they're not really focused on Boston College. They want to make sure everybody stays healthy. They want to get a lead. They want to coast. And they want to turn their attention to the big boys in Clemson next week. And that's kind of what happened. Now, Jordan Travis, the quarterback for Florida State, did sustain a shoulder injury to his non-throwing shoulder in the game. So there was that. He was sort of out of the game for a while, came back in and finished it. But remember, let's not have revisionist history here. This was a 31-10 game heading into the fourth quarter. Florida State clearly let their foot off the gas pedal, thinking they were going to be able to coast, and they couldn't. Credit to Boston College for staying in, but, you know, a 21-point differential heading into the fourth quarter would have a lot of teams coasting. So let's not take one bad quarter and all of a sudden look at Florida State and go, well, they're not as good as I think they were. No, they are. That's still, for my money, that's still the best team in the country.
Interesting. Florida State at near the top of the rankings, at least according to Mark Zeno here. And, I mean, the look-ahead spot, man, that's a big game coming up for Florida State. The Clemson game in Death Valley. I mean, do you have any early thoughts on this? I'm looking up the spread. I'm seeing Florida State minus 1.5 road favorites, 55 the total.
I think the total goes over, first of all. I think it goes way over. So I love the over in the game. But I'll back Florida State here. Under, I thought Florida State would be 3.5, and I'd be a little bit more. But look, Death Valley is a tough place to play. Now, the Clemson Tigers have had people scratching their heads for the last couple of weeks. Why? Because they lost the opening game to Duke here in Atlanta. But that was a game again. Let's remember what happened. Three turnovers, not one, not two, but three. All of them inside the red zone for Clemson, which clearly took points off the board. So they lose a game they probably should have won and could have won on multiple accounts. They beat Duke in every single aspect of that game, outgained them, outplayed them, just didn't beat them on the scoreboard because, well, they didn't even kick field goals. They ended up getting no points out of it. So that's a big thing. Clemson's offense the last couple of weeks since the Duke game has really been on fire. Now, the second game of the year, I think it was against Charleston Southern. It was the first half where they were in a, like, 14-10 game at halftime. And then they went out and scored 42 points in the second half of that game. They steamrolled. I forget who they were playing this week, but they scored 50-some-odd points. I forget what it was. Somewhere in the 48, somewhere in
some odd number. But regardless, this is an offense that I like in Clemson,
and I think that they can score. How much can Florida State slow them down? Enough to win this game by a field goal. Yeah, I think they can. But I also think the over, I think both of these teams are going to score. And get this thing over 50. I would have had this total in the low 60s. I would have had probably a
last game was against Florida Atlantic.
So, and they beat up on Florida Atlantic, who's not very good.
You know, one thing I was taking away, you kind of mentioned it, is the Duke game. That was a tough game for Clemson. Right out the gate, a well-coached Duke team. And I'll tell you this, Duke looks good. Like, so I wouldn't be like, oh, they lost to Duke. Duke is actually pretty good.
Their offense is good. That's an offense that could put up some points. So that's kind of the way you have to put Duke in that prism, that they're going to be able to score. I don't think their defense is necessarily all that in a bag of chips, but Duke is a legitimate ACC team. Look, and Florida State knows to a certain extent this is their ticket to the college football playoff right here. Right? They win this game, they likely will go undefeated. All due respect to Miami, Drew, and all the people in Coral Gables. I know Miami's a good team right now. They've won some interesting games. Beating Texas A&M, not taking anything away from them, probably says more about the state of Texas A&M necessarily than it does about Miami. That's a different conversation. All that said, Florida State wins this game. They pretty much know they punched their ticket to the ACC championship game, where they're going to play a much more inferior opponent. You will likely win it.
Yeah, and that Miami-Florida State game, it's in Tallahassee this year. That's a big difference to get them at home.
Is also in Tallahassee. So, you know, this is a spot here where Clemson, who already has a conference loss, if they take a second one, I doubt that they would be back in the ACC championship game, just given the rest of the conference and what it is. North Carolina is still going to be good. Miami will be competitive, and Duke is also very good. So if Clemson takes a second ACC loss, they're not going to be part of the conversation for Florida State when it comes to winning that conference.
Yeah, particularly who the losses would be against, that being the tiebreaker, right? You would have had already had a loss to Duke and Florida State, so you're going to lose the tiebreaker to both of those teams who are likely going to be in the mix at the end. Yeah, great stuff, Mark. Florida State breaking it down from yesterday to Boston College. He's Mark Zeno. I'm Drew Martin. More recaps on the other side. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. SportsGrid, college football full circle. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno, recapping the Saturday college football slate. If you missed anything from a betting perspective, we have you covered. Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country, thanks for joining us. Next game up here, Mark, we just talked about Boston College and Florida State. Another early game. It was LSU and Mississippi State, SEC West battle, 41-14. That was Go Tigers on top of the Bulldogs. Cowbells were ringing. They didn't do enough, though, here. Mark, LSU covers the 9.5 easily and lands right around the total. I'm seeing 54 as the closing total. And, of course, it lands 41-14. Carry the 2, 1 point over the closing total. Mark, did you take away anything here from Starkville with LSU and Mississippi State?
Yeah, LSU's offense is still really good. Malik Nabers might be one of the best receivers in college football, and Jaden Daniels was fantastic the entire – I think he completed his first 15 passes before he threw an incompletion. So let's not underestimate how good this LSU team is, despite them getting beat up by the aforementioned Florida State in week one. Mississippi State doesn't have the horses in the barn right now. They're still in rebuild mode for this team. The offense is not the same what it was under Mike Leach. They're actually more of a running team now than a passing team. And, you know, this is very much a program that's going to take a couple of years to get back where they are. But, you know, LSU may fly under the radar here with all these other teams being very good. We talked about, obviously, Georgia, Florida State, Texas, Michigan. We may forget a little bit for the next week or two how good LSU really is, and they may continue to dominate their opponents going forward.
It's not a bad betting profile to make some money with. The team that loses nationally televised big game those next few weeks, Mark, that could be a team you got circled to make some money. Unfortunately, I didn't see that one on Saturday against Mississippi State, but it's not necessarily a team I wouldn't look to bet on going forward.
I mean, look, there's a lot of reason to bet on them going forward. Again, Brian Kelly's a really good coach, and he's a good X's and O's coach. He's a very good scheme coach, particularly offensively. So, you know, this is a coach that I trust with now better athletes than he ever had at Notre Dame. So they're laying a big number this week against Arkansas. I think I want to say it is 17.5. Let me just check real quick. I know it's a number over a key number, so to speak. Give me a second here. I'll find it. It is 17.5. I was correct. So Arkansas had a very disappointing showing on Saturday. That was a team I also thought with KJ Jefferson was flying a little bit under the radar. Big number here. LSU is at home. That is going to be a night game in LSU, which is always, always, always a tough spot in Death Valley.
Oh, absolutely. That place gets loud for sure. And I think that's at least their first SEC night game this season. So one to watch there, guys. Arkansas and LSU coming up. LSU taking it out on Mississippi State on Saturday. Next game up here, Mark, this was a 4 o'clock Eastern kick. It was Ohio State in the Horseshoe hosting Western Kentucky. This was blowout city, 63-10. A lot of second half points, I believe. They cover the 29 was the number. 65.5 being the total. Does get up and over. Did you take away anything from Columbus on Saturday?
Well, Ohio State finally had their offense have a get right game. Wrong side. This is the only game I got wrong, which was the under in this game. And really, in reality, it was pacing quite well to the under. And then a massive sort of just storm of events that happened that took this game from staying under to going way over the total. I'll explain that in a minute. But this was an Ohio State team that coming into this game was only converting 29% of their third down conversions on the year. It was an awful number. They just weren't scoring a ton of points. And I had the under in this game. It was a big number at 64. And this is a team that was only averaging 30 points a game. And even though Western Kentucky can get out and score, I trusted the Ohio State defense. But this was a 14-10 game, Drew, with 8 minutes left in the second quarter. And I'm feeling like we're sitting pretty right here. And then this is what happened. Western Kentucky went for it on 4th and 6 from their own 40-yard line and didn't get it. Ohio State, one play, 40-yard touchdown. Boom. Fumbled. Next play, Ohio State goes four plays, touchdown. They go down on downs again, going for it on 4th and 10 from Ohio State's 42. Boom, another touchdown. They scored 4 touchdowns in the span of about 6 minutes. And, oh, by the way, if you want to add in, the touchdown that they scored to make it 21-0 was a one-play, 75-yard touchdown pass to Marvin Harrison. So they needed – let me count this here. In the last 8 minutes of the second quarter, they needed 8 plays to score 4 touchdowns. And that's why that game went over the total. So, some of that might be Western Kentucky's pass defense, which isn't very good. Their rush defense isn't very good. Coming into the game, they had one of the worst rush defenses in the country last year. I thought Ohio State would just ground and pound it with them and grind it up. Nope. They absolutely played the game that you thought they would play offensively, the game they would play all year long. Kyle McCord, their quarterback, 318 yards, 3 touchdowns. So Ohio State is a big game. And that was the other thing, too. Ohio State's in a look-ahead spot as well with Notre Dame in South Bend on deck next week. I don't know if I want to trust Ohio State's offense against a legitimate defense. This is one of these things that's really hard to figure. You know, they go through a game where – well, they come into a game converting 29% of their third-down conversions. This game they converted 50%. They were 5 of 10. How does up, and they were 2 of 2 on 4th down, by the way, too. How does that hold up against Notre Dame? I don't know that I have the answer to that right now. This is going to be a tough game to handicap because I don't really know who Ohio State is yet at this point in time. I think it's a tough figure for me.
I'm looking at it now. Oh, my gosh. Ohio State's minus 3-point favorite on the look ahead. Give me the Irish, Mark. I think the Irish at home in South Bend, night game. This Ohio State team, I mean, outside of what the last 35 minutes against Western Kentucky has really done nothing offensively. And Notre Dame out the gate has looked as good as any team. I mean, maybe not the top teams, but there aren't many teams in college football that have looked as good as Notre Dame out the gate. Give me the points with the Irish. I think they win outright, Mark.
And oh, by the way, in the third, Ohio State scored 3 touchdowns in the second half of this game. One of them was a sack fumble in the end zone that they recovered. And another one was a 58-yard interception return. So their offense, outside of an 8-minute stretch in the second quarter, scored 1 touchdown in the second half of that game. And that's it. And they only scored 1 touchdown in the first quarter of this game. So their offense, you know, scored 2 touchdowns in the game outside of an 8-minute span where over 8 plays they scored 4 touchdowns. I don't really know what to think about Ohio State and how good they really are, but I don't necessarily – I don't love this offense yet. I just genuinely don't.
Yeah, no disagreement here. I don't think they've shown enough, but no early bet for you at least. You got to sleep on this Notre Dame-Ohio State game at least for now.
If I get a 3.5, I could jump on Notre Dame. I really could.
Yeah.
Again, key numbers in college don't hold like they do in the NFL. So, but when you get teams that are comparable, I think those key numbers hold a little bit more water.
Sure.
No, I think in general here, this is very much a spot where Notre Dame as a dog is very appetizing.
Yeah, I got that one circled, guys. Notre Dame, Ohio State coming up. Hey, we'll recap Georgia Tech and Ole Miss on the other side here. We got a break coming up. Tennessee and Florida, Colorado, Colorado State, the Rocky Mountain Showdown, South Carolina and Georgia, and the Backyard Brawl, Pitt and West Virginia, all coming your way, guys. If you missed anything on the Saturday slate, we got you covered. I am Drew Martin, joined by Mark Zeno. Short break. We'll be right back. This is Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Sports Grid, college football full circle. Mark Zeno, Drew Martin holding it down here for the hour. If you missed anything on the Saturday slate, we got you covered from a betting perspective. Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country. This is Sports Grid. Next game up, we are hitting here. Georgia Tech and Ole Miss. This was a 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 local time in Oxford, Mississippi. The Grove was rocking. Vaught Hemingway was rocking to 48 points as they beat Georgia Tech, the Ramblin' Wreck, 48-23. They cover the 17 here, Mark. 62 being the total, gets up and over. Did you take away anything from Oxford, Mississippi on Saturday?
Yeah, look at the sandwich spot that Ole Miss was in this week. Last week, again, their win over Tulane, and cover that probably shouldn't have been the case, at least not the cover. And then they get a weak Georgia Tech team, and then they got to go to Tuscaloosa next week to take on Alabama. So this was a spot that I stayed off the game. I know a lot of sharp people who were on Georgia Tech. This number opened up at 19.5. It went to 20.5. It went back down to 19.5, and you can see where it closed before kickoff. My biggest fear, and I told my people who I know in the industry about backing Georgia Tech, was that they don't have a defense that could ever stop Ole Miss. Ole Miss could score at will pretty much on a defense like Georgia Tech. And the other thing which scares me is that the Lane train never stops running. It never, ever, ever stops running. And Lane Kiffin, if he has 6 seconds left on the clock, will run a play to try to score a touchdown. That's just who he is. He has no regard for anything other than finding the end zone with the football. So, and that's kind of what happened here. It was under 2 minutes left, and instead of him just kneeling on it, hands the ball off, and they run it right down the field in for a touchdown. And that took it from a game that was, 17-18 and probably within the number, depending on what you got it at, to a game that was 25. So Ole Miss gets the cover here. They avoid the look-ahead spot, and now they got to go to Tuscaloosa next week against an Alabama team that is as ripe for the picking as Alabama has ever, ever been. And this is a game that people at Ole Miss 100% believe that they can win. They're not worried about covering the 6.5, which I absolutely love. It would be massive disrespect to make, they couldn't make Alabama a 7.5-point favorite here, just because, which is probably what, my knee-jerk reaction would have been. But 6.5 is very, very telling in how much respect that they are giving to Mississippi here by not making them a 7.5-point dog, because sharp bettors would jump all over Mississippi over a touchdown. So I still like Mississippi here. I would have probably made this game 3.5 or 4. But I think we get a little bit of value at this line where it is. I don't see this thing ever reaching 7. Maybe there'll be some buyback on Saturday, depending on where this number goes on Alabama. But if Ole Miss was ever going to knock off Alabama, this is the absolute week and season to do it.
Get your popcorn ready. Lane Kiffin and Nick Saban, 6.5, like Mark talked about. Well, Mark, I mean, I like Ole Miss here. We were actually talking earlier. Is Alabama okay? What's going on here the last 2 weeks? Losing outright to Texas. And it was 3-3 in the third quarter against USF. I mean, this is not the Alabama team of just even a couple years ago, if not the last two decades. Is this run over? And sure enough, we are seeing Lane Kiffin, who you talked about against the spread. Granted, that's more as a favorite, but catching nearly a touchdown, the more explosive offense here. I don't know, man. I kind of like Ole Miss with you. I might sprinkle some on this +210 money line as well for them to go in lightning in a bottle in Tuscaloosa, win outright.
Well, and there's a couple of things to remember here. Particularly with Ole Miss. Guess what? And this kind of went under the radar here a little bit, but Ole Miss's two best offensive weapons didn't play in the game against Georgia Tech. Their receiver in Trey Harris didn't play, and their best running back in Quinshon Judkins didn't play. I'm sure those guys will be back next week against Alabama. Alabama's got some real problems right now at quarterback. They don't really know who to start or who's any good. I mean, His two quarterbacks, at Nick Saban's two quarterbacks, went 10 of 23 for 107 yards. That's an Alabama. That would have been an Alabama first quarter or first half last year, right? Like 107 yards would have been their first quarter passing at certain points last year. Nope. Again, like I said, they have a receiver problem. They have nobody who can get open, and their quarterbacks are being exposed because of it.
It's amazing, like, the quarterback situation that Alabama has right now, Mark. Especially, like, just look at the NFL. Bryce Young, number one overall pick. We got Tua, a starting quarterback. We got Jalen Hurts, a starting quarterback. Two of the better quarterbacks probably in the NFL. We get Mac Jones, a starting quarterback. You know, and to get that much production at the quarterback position and now playing on Sundays – and then now we have Alabama scoring 3 points against USF in the third, you know, time running off in the third quarter. It's just, man, I don't know. Is this it's kind of a gap in the Nick Saban era that might be tough to fill going forward? Something to watch here, guys. Next game up, we're going to recap, speaking of the SEC, Tennessee and Florida. We saw the Gators win 29-16 outright as the five-point underdogs. Actually, the point spread was as high as a full touchdown, but money did come in on Florida, 56.5 being the total. Game stays under. Billy Napier and the Gators playing the better ball. I mean, there was no doubt about it. I watched almost every snap of this, Mark. Florida won this game. It was tough on Tennessee. I don't think this is the same Tennessee offense. I think Hendon Hooker was more valuable to the Volunteer program than I think a lot of the betting public realizes. I think we're going to see that over the next couple weeks here, Mark. What are your thoughts overall on Tennessee and from the Swamp Saturday night?
It's Florida won up front in the trenches. You know, Joe Milton was under a lot of pressure, throws his first interception in, what, 2 or 3 years, or as long as he's been in college football. He just didn't have it. There were a lot of times I thought in the game he should have taken off and ran. Hendon Hooker would have. You know, there were times I thought Tennessee would get a little momentum and get it back, but, you know, they haven't won there in 20 years. Going down to the Swamp is a tough place to play, and you give Florida some credit. I would look at Florida, though, and I got to tell you, I don't even know who they're playing this week, but it feels like an uber letdown spot for Florida, depending on who they're playing and where they're playing. But I don't think Florida is that good. I don't think they're good enough to beat back-to-back opponents. And really, you know, okay, well, they're playing Charlotte.
So Charlotte.
Yeah, they'll be Charlotte. They'll beat that team. If they had another SEC game on deck, which would have been great, I would have loved to have played against Florida.
Yeah, I mean, I guess could they maybe appetize you with Charlotte plus 28, but I wouldn't go there. I mean, that's not a good Charlotte team. They just got blown out by Georgia State. Yeah. We got next game up here, Colorado and Colorado State, Rocky Mountain Showdown, Coach Prime 43, Colorado State 35. They win this game. I believe it went to overtime. It was late last night, the night slate, 63 being the total, up and over that. Colorado doesn't get close to covering the 24-23.5 here. But, what game day was there? Fox pregame was there. It was kind of the scene in Boulder. The Rock was there. Yeah, there was a lot going on. It was a good game. Colorado State hung right with them, Mark. I'm not sure if you watched it, but did you take away anything from Rocky Mountain Showdown?
What I've taken away from Colorado the last 3 weeks, their defense isn't good, and it's not going to get better anytime soon. And they may be in for a world of hurt heading up to Autzen next weekend against the Oregon Ducks, because that is an offense that will whoop up on you very, very quickly. So, you know, Colorado State looked so bad in their opener and didn't look like a team that was ready to play. But, you know, again, you have to respect the Colorado Buffaloes offense. And I wonder what that total is next week. Let me just double check. I know it's
72.5.
That's an insane number. It's probably going to go over, but I wouldn't play it.
It probably is going. I think Oregon's going to go north of 50.
Yeah,
I think they're going to score almost every possession.
I don't see how they don't. I mean, I would just look at it, take Oregon's team total over. You might get something in the mid-40s if I had anything under 45, which is 6 touchdowns and a field goal, if definitively it was under 40, I don't think it will be. But if I had 42, under 42, I'd jump right. 42 or less, I'd jump on it.
Mark, I just read it as that's where Bo Nix and his athletic ability like strives against like the lesser defenses, and that offense, yep, the way they open it up. And I think Colorado will be able to score like on big plays. Although Travis Hunter, I believe he got injured. Got to stay updated on what his status is. I don't know it off the top of my head, but I like Oregon here. Okay, he is out. Frank behind the scenes helping us out. Is he out for the year, Frank? Do you know? He's out a couple weeks. Travis Hunter, the kid that plays both ways, plays like 50 snaps a game on both sides too, if not more. I haven't seen anything like that. Probably since Deion Sanders. I don't even know if Deion Sanders played that much on offense, but I don't know. We're seeing the point spread minus 20.5. I didn't think it was going to be that large. I really didn't, Mark.
20.
I want to be on Oregon. Man. Yeah,
you should.
I want to be on Oregon.
They're a much better team.
You going to lay that much, though?
No. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's a 3:30 kick on Saturday, so it'll be.
Short break, guys. We'll be right back. He's Mark Zito. I'm Drew Martin. This is Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. Sports Grid college football full circle, recapping the Saturday slate. If you missed anything, we got you covered here. I am Drew Martin, joined by Mark Zeno. Mark's on Twitter at Mark Zeno. I'm on Twitter at Drew Martin Betts, at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV. We got Sirius Channel 159 listeners. Thanks for joining us. Sports Grid YouTube as well. Radio affiliates across the country. As South Carolina and Georgia is the next one we're going to be recapping here. And I'll tell you, Mark, this South Carolina team was right in it, in between the hedges on Saturday for quite some time. And to tell you the truth, I mean, it's a respectable score. They stayed within the number comfortably, pretty much the full game. They were never not within the number. Had the lead, 14-3, looking strong, actually had a chance maybe to kind of shocked the world there in Athens. Georgia does come back. They push them around a little bit up front. They got after the Gamecock quarterback there, and sure enough, come out and win by 10. But did you catch this one? What'd you take away from the 3:30 game, SEC?
Georgia's not the best team in the country. Their offense has problems. It's not a good offense. It's just not. Despite the fact that they have Brock Bowers, who's the best tight end in the country. Carson Beck still has a long way to go to get this offense where it needs to be. Mike Bobo is not a very good offensive coordinator. He's still trying to run Todd Monken's system, and it's just not the same. Never works. When you ask one coordinator who has their own system to run a different coach's system. But beyond that, you know, give credit to Georgia's defense. They choked out South Carolina in the second half. They could not move the ball at all. A 14-3 lead, and South Carolina's defense just was not good enough to get the stops they needed. That's just a difference in athletes that Georgia has versus South Carolina. But, you know, this was a game. And South Carolina, by the way, lost one of their best players on the opening touchdown drive. I think their running back. I can't remember his name. I'll have to look it up real quick. But, you know, after he scored the touchdown, let me get his name here real quick. Antoine Wells Jr., that's who it was. And they had no running game, and that really hurt them throughout the rest, particularly in the second quarter when they couldn't, or in the second half rather, when they really couldn't move the ball. But, you know, don't be fooled by the numbers. I don't trust this Georgia offense at all. It's not an offense I want to back to lay anything more than a touchdown at this point.
Yeah, Carson Beck, I second your thoughts. He's got to play a little bit better, take over the games if Georgia's going to look to three-peat in college football. It's been quite some time since I believe we've had that happen. Georgia's trying to become the first in a long time. Guys, we'll turn the page here towards Saturday night in Autzen Stadium. Oregon hosting Hawaii. The game finished 55-10. That was the Ducks on top. And really wanted to bring this one up, Mark, because next week we get Colorado and Oregon. But in recap, on Saturday, 560 total yards. That was the Ducks offense against this Hawaii defense. Hawaii only put up 201 yards themselves. This was total domination. Ended up staying under the number in terms of the total just by a field goal, which hurt my pocketbook because I bet the over. But nonetheless, Oregon wins going away. 25 first downs they put up. They were 2 for 2 on fourth down, 6 of 11 on third down, and Hawaii did throw one interception for a turnover. But not sure if you caught any of this. Oregon's offense looked really good, Mark, and they host Colorado this Saturday, which should be a fun one, man, with a lot of points. And I think Oregon going off is what, -21.5 point favorites hosting the Buffs. I look towards Oregon and look towards the over in that one. But have any thoughts here? Oregon and Hawaii and Oregon, Colorado coming up.
Well, it's 20.5, not 21.5. 20.5. So, you know, worth noting that you're under 3 touchdowns. It's a big number for a reason. Now, look, I would assume a lot of the people are going to run to bet Colorado. Everyone's buying in the Deion hype, as they should. There's no reason not to buy into it. But you're going to find out the difference between motivating and coaching against mediocre teams and motivating and coaching against teams that have college football playoff written on them. And that's what Oregon does. So this is the most physical team that they're going to play. Dan Lanning's defense is a physical defense. He plays a physical style of football, but he's also got a quarterback that is the better quarterback on the field. All deference to Shedeur Sanders and what he's done so far. Bo Nix has a lot more experience, and he's the better quarterback right now. That's just kind of what it is. That doesn't mean that Shedeur Sanders can't win this game or make it interesting or anything like that. It's just, you know, Bo Nix has got a wealth of experience, and he's very comfortable with what he has up there in Oregon. Again, they'll also have to learn Colorado State hasn't done this one thing this year yet. What's that called? Oh, yeah, go on the road. Right? You know, like you got to play on the road. And going into Autzen is not an easy thing to do. It's not a place that you you want to play. I'm sorry, they did win at TCU. I apologize. They were on the road. But there is a different home field advantage for Oregon than there is for TCU. And anybody who's played in Autzen Stadium will tell you that.
Yeah, it could be one of the loudest stadiums, you know, maybe not just like people packed in terms of numbers, but I have heard a lot of people say when you are on the sideline there, it's one of the loudest atmospheres in really all of sports. I mean, college football is as good as the atmosphere gets in this sport. Autzen right up there with the best of them. So that will be a fun one. Oregon hosting Colorado. Want to hit one more here, Mark. It was the backyard brawl, Pittsburgh and West Virginia. We saw West Virginia win this game 17-6 over the Pitt Panthers. They cover the 2.5 as the home favorite, 47.5 being the total. And their coach, Neil Brown, a lot of people are saying he was on the hot seat, that if they even lost this one, you know, a rivalry game, he'd be shown the door. They end up getting the win here and playing looked a little bit better. I don't know if it's more Pitt not looking that great, but either way, it was a fun atmosphere to watch the game. These two rivals really go at it. And Pitt, hey, Pitt has a real tough time offensively, but West Virginia was able to do enough offensively with their backup quarterback coming in at times and winning this game. Did you take anything away here from Pitt and West Virginia, Mark?
It was a boring game. It was not okay. Aesthetically pleasing to the eye. These are two offenses that don't really bring a lot to the table. It wasn't a game that I really had my eye on, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, I probably would have leaned West Virginia. I know a couple of sharp people who are on West Virginia, but, you know, you never kind of want that game to be a sweat the way it is. And it was a sweat given the fact that it was a rivalry game and very close.
Well, I'll tell you this, Mark, like college football full circle, guys, recapping all the games. We just hit the majority from the bigger matchups on Saturday. We can recap some more, Mark, but it looks like we got some time to go ahead and look ahead towards this next week which starts on Thursday. Georgia State and Coastal Carolina get us kicked off in the Sun Belt. We got four games on Friday night. Lights action. Air Force minus 3-point favorites against San Jose State. Boise State and San Diego State. The Broncos laying 7. NC State and Virginia. Wolfpack minus 9.5-point favorites in Virginia. Virginia hasn't looked that great this year. Purdue hosting Wisconsin. Big Ten battle on Thursday. The Badgers minus 7-point favorites. That's the weekday action. And then Saturday, you know, this past week didn't have a lot of like key top ranked matchups. This week, there's some big matchups going on, some very intriguing ones. We talked about a little bit Mississippi and Alabama. That's a big one in the SEC alone. I mean, Auburn, Texas A&M, that's a fascinating matchup. Is Texas A&M 7-point favorites over my Auburn Tigers? I kind of like Auburn there. That might be the fan in me, though, talking.
How the hell are you going to lay points to A&M right now?
I know. Yes. That's what I was thinking. Ugh. And Auburn is, you know, I know they struggled on the road against Cal, but they won the game. The defense has played well. If they can put up enough points, plus the 7, Ohio State and Notre Dame, I mean, that's one of the biggest matchups so far year to date. I kind of like the Irish. We talked about it a little bit, Mark. This Ohio State offense has some problems looking towards Notre Dame. Did you have any games circled you want to talk about?
Well, it's interesting. You brought up a couple of games there. There is one that, as we get into conference play, is going to be very interesting to watch. Oklahoma is playing Cincinnati at Cincinnati. That line is Oklahoma minus 13.5. You're going to the Big 12 now, since they have all these new teams in here, you're getting mismatches in talent, right? Oklahoma is a very elite team right now. And Cincinnati's three opponents so far this year have been Eastern Kentucky, not a Power 5 school, Pitt, a very bad Power 5 school, and Miami of Ohio. And Cincinnati just lost that game in overtime. I don't know. That feels like a very short number to me, under 2 touchdowns. I think Oklahoma's just going to push that team around, to be perfectly honest with you. So I know Cincinnati's put up a ton of yards and everything, but I don't know. To me, that's something that stands out. That's like, wow, I thought that number would be 17.5, right? Like, that's where I would have made that number, given these two teams. Are we giving too much respect to Cincinnati? Are we not giving enough respect to Oklahoma? Or are they flying under the radar with Dylan Gabriel? I don't know. The guy's got 11 touchdowns and 1 interception. He's thrown for 900 yards in 3 games. You tell me if we're not. They average 358 yards passing a game. They average almost 200 yards rushing. Like, this is one of the best offenses in the country through 3 weeks, statistically. Again, they haven't played anybody of note, but I think that the horses in the barn for Oklahoma are much better than the horses in the barn for Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it. Cincinnati just went down to a MAC team and now facing Oklahoma. You bring up Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah. I kind of wish they hadn't lost that game, by the way. I wish Cincinnati hadn't
lost it out and won. It would have been better betting against them.
Yes, absolutely.
Dylan Gabriel, their quarterback, he kind of reminds me, and it's a guy he looked up to coming from Hawaii, of Tua for the Miami Dolphins. And they kind of play alike a little bit. If you give him time, he's accurate. He's great. Now, if you don't give him time, that's another story. But I think he's going to have time. And I think Oklahoma, I think you're onto something there, man. 2 touchdown favorite. Another one we didn't talk about, Florida State and Clemson, FSU minus 1.5-point road favorites, 55 the total. Actually, we did earlier in the show, and you said you like the over in Florida State, Mark?
I think so. I don't see a reason to get off Florida State. I think they're the much better team. I'm kind of curious, who does Miami have on deck? After they get Georgia Tech, they have to travel to Temple. I thought it might have been. Yeah, see, okay, so the Georgia Tech game is the look-ahead spot. Then they have to travel to North Carolina. So I'll circle that on the calendar for Miami. But Temple isn't very good, so I'm probably not going to lay the 24.5 there. I like Mississippi getting 6.5. I think that is a good spot. Oregon State and Washington State is going to be a very interesting. The fact that Wazoo is catching points at home, it's only 2.5. I lean Washington State there just based off of their offense alone.
Washington minus 21 hosting Cal as well out in the Pac-12. Mark Zeno, Drew Martin, short break. We'll be right back. Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Sports Grid. College football full circle. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno, recapping the Saturday slate. If you missed anything, taking a look ahead towards the upcoming week in college football. Next hour, we got pro football full circle. If you missed anything on Sunday, we got you covered here from a betting perspective. But Mark, I guess final thoughts here on the college football slate for the slate coming up. We talked about it a little bit. Mississippi, Alabama. Give me Ole Miss, man. +6.5. Lane Kiffin, get your popcorn ready. I think they got the better offense. I think they stay within the number. I'm going to be on the money line as well, +210. I think Hottie Toddy goes into Tuscaloosa and wins outright. Any other thoughts you have for the upcoming slate?
No, again, Washington State, with their offense is very, very interesting in the way that they are moving the ball. I mean, they're averaging over 560 yards a game. That Oregon State defense is very good, and it's supposed to be very good, but let's see how they react on the road. And, you know, DJU has been good for their offense in that game, but that's a 7 o'clock kick on Fox for that game. I really would love. I'm probably going to wait to see if this thing gets above 3. If I can get 3 or 3.5 as opposed to 2.5, I might be much more inclined to take Washington State here. I am a little bit concerned about their pass defense, but because they haven't really, Washington State hasn't really played anybody of note who throws the ball all that well, and they're still giving up 270 passing yards a game. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting game out west.
Oregon State's pretty good. I've heard a lot of people say they like the Beavers this year. Doesn't mean you can't bet against them. Yeah.
There's a lot to like. But the Pac-12 is as stacked as it's ever been in the
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Best start, I think, in conference history through the first 2 or 3 weeks. It's last year of it, though, guys. College football full circle in the books. Pro football full circle coming up. Stay with us. Sports Grid.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.